Well, it's my privilege on behalf of all your family and friends gathered both here and throughout the world to be the first to give you our warmest congratulations. You are an inspiration to all of us, and we're so delighted that you have come to this day.
Of course, the Bible says that we should love everybody, doesn't it? We all know that. When they ask Jesus to sum up the moral duty we owe to one another, he did it in a single sentence. Love your neighbor, he said. And when a smart aleck in the crowd asked, well, who exactly is included in that word, neighbor? Jesus told his famous story of the Good Samaritan, which is a story that basically says your neighbor is anybody. Anybody at all, doesn't matter what race they come from, what language they speak, what religion they have, what sex they are, what sexual orientation they are, doesn't matter who they are. Your neighbor is just anybody who happens to intersect your life. Jesus said you're even to love your enemies. But today, we're here, aren't we, to celebrate a different kind of love to the one Jesus was talking about just then. It's a love which can't be given to everybody because it's a selective love. It's an exclusive love. I call it a special love. This love isn't a moral duty we owe to everybody. On the contrary, it's a personal choice. In fact, you could almost call it an optional extra. Some people choose to go through life without the love I'm about to talk to you about. Its distinctive feature, you see, is that it is invested, this love, not in everybody, but in one particular individual. The Bible calls it covenant love. There's a special word for it in the Old Testament, actually, in Hebrew. And there's no more poignant example, I think, of covenant love in the whole of the Bible than the story of David and Jonathan. Now, some of you, I know, will be familiar with that story, but in case you're not, just let me remind you. Jonathan was a royal prince, the son of King Saul. David was a good-looking shepherd boy with a talent for winning fights. It was after one such famous victory against a giant called Goliath that these two young men first met. And that's when the Bible tells us Jonathan became one in spirit with David. He made a covenant with him because he loved him. A covenant is a special word in the Bible. It means a strong promise made in the presence of God that joins two parties together unbreakably, an unbreakable bond. Now, clearly, you don't make a promise like that unless the other person is very special, has a unique place in your heart and in your life. And it was so for David and Jonathan. The Bible tells us they were one in spirit. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? One in spirit. When they asked the philosopher Aristotle, what is a friend? He answered, a friend is a single soul dwelling in two bodies. I guess it's that kind of rather mysterious interpenetration of identity that the Bible is talking about when it says David and Jonathan were one in spirit. You could translate the Hebrew original, actually. The soul of Jonathan was bound up with the soul of David. It's a very beautiful idiom, and it conveys a kind of intimacy, a mutual devotion. They were, as we would perhaps rather more glibly say today, two hearts that beat as one. Where does that kind of unison of soul come from? It's very mysterious, isn't it? Almost magical. The Bible says it's rooted in the soul, and the soul is the deepest architecture of our human personality. So it goes very deep. They met, and a profound fire was kindled deep down in their souls, which neither of them wanted or dared to extinguish. It cried out to be sealed by an unbreakable promise. It was, as I say, a special love, a covenant love. Sadly, we have to admit that sometimes covenant love between two human beings cannot always fulfill the vows that pledges it. Sometimes we promise beyond our strength. Sometimes we promise in defiance of circumstances which are just too great for us to overcome. And sadly, it was like that for David and Jonathan. For Jonathan's father, remember he was King Saul, he disapproved of their relationship intensely. He was insanely jealous of David and plotted his murder even. To cut a long story short, as a result of the conflict of loyalties that this tension provoked, David and Jonathan eventually had to split up. They were a casualty of a political rift in their country. Their parting was immensely painful. In fact, we are told David physically crumpled under the grief of it, burying his face in the ground. And then we are told, as they were reluctantly forced to say goodbye, they kissed each other and wept together. I guess there are one or two of us here who have experienced the emotional devastation of that kind of critical severance from someone we love. When it happens, it remains burnt into the memory for a lifetime, doesn't it? You never get over it completely. But of course, the question which you are all longing to ask, faced with all this kissing and weeping at their parting, is, did the special love that united David and Jonathan have a sexual component to it? That's what you're all longing to ask, isn't it? Let's be honest. Now, I want to be frank with you about this. Some biblical commentators are absolutely convinced it must have done. Whereas there are others who are equally adamant that such an idea is quite unthinkable. So you want to know what I think? Well, my view is that those who insist they know the answer to that question tell us more about their own prejudices than they do about David and Jonathan. But the fact is, the Bible itself is completely silent on the point. And therefore, so must I be. But I will tell you this. David was a ladies' man. The girls mobbed him in the street like a pop star. And he wasn't slow to take advantage of that popularity. He had affairs with dozens of women in his day. He married six of them. And he sired at least 20 sons, together with an unspecified number of daughters. So David certainly did not lack experience with the opposite sex, did he? Yet here is the remarkable thing. As many of you probably know, in addition to being a great soldier, David was also a great poet and a great musician. Most of the hymns in the Book of Psalms are his composition, including, of course, that most famous one of all, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." We shall hear that a little later on today. And yet, you know, as far as we know, David never wrote a love song for any of the women in his life. Only one love song from the pen of David has been preserved in the Bible, and it is dedicated not to a woman, but to Jonathan. It's a song of immense pathos and poignancy, because in addition to being a love song, it is also a requiem. It was composed after Jonathan's tragic death on the battlefield. And to be honest, I would not mention it on a happy, life-affirming day like today, were it not for a single, extraordinarily revealing line that broken-hearted lament contains. "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother," wrote David. "You were very dear to me," he sang. "Your love was wonderful. More wonderful than that of women." Did you hear that? "Your love for me was wonderful. More wonderful than that of women." So I guess we want to ask again, was there a sexual dimension to this love? I don't know. And to be honest, I don't much care. I do know this was a special love, a covenant love. And a love like that transcends sex. The Bible describes sexual union as becoming one flesh. But it says that David and Jonathan were fused as one soul, one spirit. Deeper then than just sex. The love that united them was one of such intimacy, such commitment, such devotion. It was, by David's own testimony, more wonderful than that of women. And let's face it, he should know. It was, as I say, a very special love. Fortunate is the man or woman who finds such love, irrespective of its gender. Deep down, all our hearts ache to find a love like that, don't we? And you know why? Because this kind of love, this special love, this covenant love, is the nearest we human beings can ever get to the love of God. The love shown to us in Jesus. Yes, that's a special love too. For you see, Jesus does not just love us with the passing, generalized beneficence of the Good Samaritan. He loves us with the intensity, with the passion, with the commitment of David and Jonathan. Interestingly, it was a Jewish prophet who first anticipated this, and coincidentally, his name was also Jeremy. Well, Jeremiah, but it's the same thing. "One day," Jeremiah said, "the Lord will make a new kind of relationship with us human beings, a relationship that touches the deepest places of the human heart, a relationship pledged by a promise that can never be broken, and therefore a relationship you can utterly rely on." He called it the new covenant. And many years after Jeremiah, one awesome night in an upper room in Jerusalem, Jesus announced its arrival. sitting at a table, a supper table, just the night before his crucifixion, with his friends gathered round him, he took a cup of wine in his hands and he said to them, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it." And ever since, Christian believers have found assurance of God's special love for them in that cup that they share, and in Jesus' death on the cross, which it represents. There's a famous Christian in the Bible. I expect you've heard of him. Coincidentally, he was also an Italian citizen named Paolo. Well, Paul, but it's the same thing. Listen to how Paul describes his personal experience of that new covenant that Jesus inaugurated. This is how he put it. "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." Did you hear the intimacy in that personal pronoun, me? He loved me. He gave himself for me. I say again, Jesus does not just love us with the generalized benevolence of a good neighbor. He loves us with a special love. But because the capacity of his divine heart is infinite, unlike us, he does not have to limit the number of people he offers that love to just one. No. Jesus loves each of us as if there were only one of us to love. Did you get that? Let me say it again. It's the most important sentence I'm going to say today. Jesus loves each of us as if there were only one of us to love. Well, Jeremy and Paolo, you are very fortunate people because you have found a special love. A special love like that between David and Jonathan. And we are thrilled to celebrate that love with you as you make your covenant promises on this wedding day. And on this special day, I can offer you no better advice than this. Make Jesus the model of your covenant love, your special love for one another. There is no love in the world more fulfilling, more securing, more dependable than the special love he has promised to us.